Mode. All right, so that was sort of a discussion of memory structure. Our next thing to discuss is actually Flynn's classification, which is the synchronization structure or the control structure. We've already pointed out that in SIMD, the synchronization is very simple. Every processor executes the same instruction stream. And so in some sense, that's an advantage of SIMD, because there is no overhead from synchronization, because everything is automatically synchronized. Now, that's also, of course, a negative of SIMD, because if you don't want them synchronized, you may have to waste what they do on something. But there is no synchronization overhead. MIMD, originally, one of the reasons people worried about MIMD, this was a long time ago, 20 years ago, was that the synchronization overhead was, they thought it would be high, but that turned out not to be true. And there are various strategies for synchronizing. If you have a shared memory model, you can see the synchronization. It's probably the neatest way is just to look at Java, which has the thread model of Java has locks built in, which are a synchronization model. So you just study that language, you can see it, how to do that synchronization. Some shared memory systems have special hardware, in fact most of them do, to produce effectively coherent caches, and that's all that's essentially their way of doing synchronization. In the case of the types of distributed memory systems, the synchronization is automatic from message passing. And if you go back to that Laplace example we went through, I mean, although we didn't discuss it, but if you look at those examples, I never discussed synchronization. I said we take these 16 data points, we put them in each processor, they send messages to each other. I didn't say we ever had to synchronize them, and the answer is, the reason was we never did. There was no synchronization necessary, because the synchronization was implied by one processor sending a message and the other processor receiving it. The actual act of sending a message and receiving synchronizes operations. So that's also true with a bricklayer. When one bricklayer speaks about how they coordinate their work at the boundary between the walls they're building, and the second bricklayer responds, that synchronizes them. So if you think about that example, suppose we have a very slothful bricklayer who is very slow. So what happens? Well, nothing really happens, at least in this model I had. The fast bricklayer blazes the bricks, and then he sort of shouts at his neighbor, "What are you going to do? We're trying to join up our bricks where we should." And so he keeps screaming at the bricklayer, who's very slow, and eventually the bricklayer is very slow, reaches the end, and then answers his call. So what happens is the fast bricklayer waits for the slow bricklayer. And so the same is true in parallel computers. One computer sends a message. If the other computer is busy and doing something else, the message waits. When the computer that's meant to receive the message gets round to it, it answers the message, and that act of waiting for a message synchronizes the systems. And so that's actually another very important feature about all of parallel computing, is that there is no need for global synchronization. If we're building my wall, I do not have to have a foreman telling each bricklayer when they're meant to reach the middle and join their sections together. They just have to do it themselves, and the very fact that they do it themselves in a binary fashion is all that has to happen, because the local consistency guarantees global synchronization. And again, the same is true in parallel computing, that there is no global synchronization necessary, and so there is no global overhead, which is why you get scaling parallels. So there's no overheads which are significant for synchronization. So that's an important property, which I don't think, although it's now, I think, generally appreciated. Essentially, all parallel computers are like that. And in fact, nature's like that. You know, a piece of grass in the Syracuse University lawn does not have to wait for a piece of grass in another part of the world to ask permission to grow. It just grows. And then the fact that this grass grows and sends out carbon dioxide in the air or absorbs or whatever it does, eventually they communicate with each other doing the things they do by sending chemical messages. But they don't have to have any global synchronization. So you're right. And they also recognize summer independently and when it's a good time to grow. So they do their own thing. And synchronization is guaranteed by sort of the natural local interaction. So the same, that's true in nature and it's true in parallel computing.